This is another day on Being Mindful at PHBC Radio. This is a weekly broadcast that explores issues surrounding quality of life, our quality of life as Christians. We cover a range of topics: mental health, emotional well-being, finances, family, relationships, anything that has to do with life, we're talking about it here. As usual, we would love for you to join in the conversation. You can follow us on Instagram or Twitter using the PHBC London, that's the handle. Or you could go to the PHBC app and listen on radio, on the radio app, and you can message directly by tapping the button to contact the studio. Today, we're going to be continuing our conversation from last week, which is about walking with the Word. And as usual, from this voice already, you know, my name is Noma, and in the studio is Lillian and our very own Pastor Deji.
One and only.
Very own.
The original. One and only.
Yes.
No comment.
So, yes.
Imagine if we had two Pastor Deji. Can you imagine?
But last week you said Deji means double.
Oh my days.
Yes.
So, is it Oluwa Deji or Ayo Deji?
Oluwa is our Lord, so our Lord is doubled now. Ayo is joy, so it's Ayo Deji, meaning double the joy. Yes,
wow.
Yes. As the second child, my mother deemed it, you know, that her joy has been doubled.
Yes. I like names that have meaning, actually.
Yeah,
indeed, particularly as Christians. Listen, that's another show topic.
Yes,
the power of a name.
Yeah, I remember someone told me, like, sometimes when you don't know what to pray, just use your name to pray, especially if you have a name that means something.
Wow,
just use your name to pray, you know, just and yeah,
that's powerful.
Anyway. So we're going to start off as we usually do here, which is with the big, big question: what is on your mind? So we're going to start with Lillian, and then she will pass it on to whoever she wants to. Yes, after that.
I've got the ball. Okay, what's on my mind? What's on my mind is I'm still feeling the only word I can use is awesomeness. I think we mentioned it last time, but the baptisms, you know, just the testimonies. I was speaking with one of the ladies in the service yesterday, and she was saying, because she couldn't come, she was watching it online, but when she heard them, how emotional she found herself. And I said, yeah, especially there was one particular person, and I just thought, wow, look at that, you know. How God just answers prayer. And then, you know, the next thing they're getting baptized, and young people at that, which really brings me joy, because there's, as we know, you know, you turn the news on and they're talking about, you know, this young person's got stabbed, or this young person's in trouble, or it's just bad news around young people. But to celebrate 8 young people under the age of 30 giving their lives to God, baptizing, being baptized as well, is just phenomenal. You know, so so I'm still feeling into that, if you want to call it energy.
that vibe
the vibe of the baptism. As well as the warmer day as it is today.
Yes,
my really goodness, warm. When I stepped out, it's like,
Yes.
I wore too many layers, but it's still nice.
Exactly. I mean, this is the time of the year where you start to feel a little bit overdressed. You're like, oh no. I need to, tomorrow to I'm not wearing this jacket.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, that's what's on my mind. So I'm going to pass it to Double Joy. Double Joy, Pastor Deji. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? I have to continue where you've left off. There is, you know, just 8 people being baptized on Easter Sunday, as we said last week. It still hasn't left me. For me, that's the message, the miracle of Easter. You know, it was epitomized. It was there. It's the death and resurrection aspect of baptism and what that meant. You know, that was the sermon. And as you rightly said, those testimonies. Oh my. So 100%, that's where I'm at. And I'm just, I think much more for me is also a Lord, where do we go from here? You know, where do we go from here? 8 people were baptized, and it's important that it wasn't just an opportunity for them to get wet and get dry again. What will change in their lives, and what role can we play? We're not owning that. That's between the individual and Jesus. We're not owning that. But what role can we play in supporting them, in providing an environment where they can grow, flourish, be fulfilled in God and in themselves? You know, so that's also where my mind is the what next, Lord? What next? You know, for a couple of them, there's a need for strong, decisive discipleship that they've identified. But every single one of them wants to participate in God's kingdom, wants to give, and wants to get stuck in, get involved, you know, and so that's what's on my mind.
Wonderful.
That's good. Now, I don't even want to say anything because I'm just like, I have to like say the same thing, but no, I'm not going to do that.
well, you have to say something profound.
Now. Exactly. Like, yeah. Now I feel
intimidated. You can't say what's on your mind, or I'm hungry.
Yeah, but I'm going to be honest. So what's on my mind, I think I'll say what's on my mind is family, because I just, while walking down here, I was on the phone with my sister. I just have one sister. And I'm just grateful for family because of the way... So by nature, which may be like shock, but by nature, I'm an introvert, right? So what? I know, like, the shock. But yeah, so by nature, I'm an introvert. I'm not like really that outgoing. So I'm just grateful for family because, you know, you have spaces, and that's what church is supposed to be as well, isn't it? Spaces where you can just be yourself authentically. You can share your heart. You know, you can say the random thing and you'll be corrected in love. But, you know, so I'm just grateful for family. And yeah, that's what's on my mind. So we're going to, I don't know, Pastor Digji has left me in charge of this thing, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. So,
well, you're the professional here.
Pastor Digji, please.
Yes, I agree.
So I don't know if we're going to introduce the topic now, if we have time, or we're going to go into music. So let's see.
That sounds like you want us to go into music.
Okay, so maybe we go into music, and then, like we said, we're continuing from last week's conversation about walking with the Word.
Well, what I think we should do is let's introduce the topic.
Okay.
And spend a few minutes just recapping what happened last week, and then we can play a piece of music.
Okay.
How does that sound?
Yes.
Sounds fantastic. So who's going to recap?
I think Lillian should do the recap.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you see that? If you were here in the studio, you'd see them both looking at me like, yes, you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So walking with the Word. So last week we spoke about, well, first of all, we introduced a video to you all. So on hearing that, where a young man went into a supermarket in America, he offered $10, a $10 gift voucher, to any of the shoppers who could recite a Bible verse. So it was from there that, well, as I was praying, and then I was just meditating on the whole sort of emphasis of the message. What is it like for us as Christians to walk with the Word, and are we walking with the Word? And the Word, as we know, the Word became flesh, and the Word was Jesus Christ who became flesh. And if we're not walking with the Word, then we are living a defeated life. So we gave some examples of what that could look like in terms of walking with the Word. And we're going to share some more practical ways and tips that can help you and help all of us as well to just strengthen our relationship with the Lord as we go out and about in our everyday life. Because walking with the Word is not just about your quiet time, whether your quiet time is in the morning, in the daytime, or in the night. It's not just about coming to church and hearing the Word, but actually, you know, what do you do in between those times? There.
Wow.
Thank
I've summarized it well, haven't I?
Yeah. I think you have. I think you have. I think you have. And okay, so let me then. Can I? Is that okay for me to do this?
Yes.
I can see you. I can see you're keen. You're like, just play the music.
Nyoma's in charge today, so we're both looking at her like yes, the green lights.
Indeed, she's the one with the iPad. and you know me, I like me some jazz, and so we're going to start. The first track is it's a very well-known song, worship song, but this is a jazz version, and it is by Michael Parlett, Blessings Like You Know. Thank you.
That's fine. Yo, keep it up. That is bad.
Welcome back. That was Blessing and Honor, Ancient of Days. I remember on the break, I was sharing with Pastor Deji. I don't know why she's laughing. I don't know if he's laughing at me or with me.
She's laughing for you.
Okay, for me. I was just sharing with them how like a children's church back in the day, we used to do kingdom dance to songs like this, Don Mon. Actually, like my siblings and I, we actually used to do it for my parents. Wow. And the funny thing is that my dad will always fall asleep. And then, but my mom is like having the energy for both of them. Like she's smiling and cheering us on. And then towards the end, we see her like nudging him on the knee, like they're done.
Well, maybe he fell asleep because, you know, he was so ministered to.
Yeah.
It soothed him.
Hopefully.
But I will say before you continue, yeah, for those who are listening to the show right now, during the song, as Noma was explaining this to us, she actually showed us,
yeah,
some of the moves. Maybe at some point we'll introduce a live a webcam into the studio.
Oh my gosh.
So you can actually watch what's going on as well.
No, well, I thought one better that Noma will demonstrate the moves at the next.
What is happening? Is this Get Noma Day?
So if you think that it's a good idea, let us know. Send us a message. We'll make sure. Well, Pastor will arrange that to happen. So
okay. Enough.
We'll all do the moves. We will all do the moves together.
Okay, as long as that is going.
Yeah,
to
you
happen.
Can teach us.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So before we went on the break, now if you're just joining us, this is Be Mindful on PHBC Radio. And we are discussing, carrying on from our discussion from last week, which is walking with the word. And Lillian also, before we went on the break, gave us a brief intro into the conversation. So I'm just going to pass it on to her again in terms of just with a question.
What?
With the question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So remember like last week we were talking about the practical ways. And I know I mentioned something about being intentional, that for me that was one of the practical ways, yeah, for me. And I just wanted to ask, like, for you had mentioned about writing down scripture. How, in what ways has that actually, how has that helped you when you write down scripture?
Well, for me, because I'm a writer, and it helps me to process. So when I see the scripture and then I'm writing it, there's a scientific something, I don't know, but about the brain writing connection, brain hand connection. So apparently as we write, it helps us to learn. So because I remember at school they used to give us lines. Those of you listening, I don't know if you remember this, maybe at school you did this when we were naughty.
Yep.
They would keep you behind after school, or you weren't allowed to go out and play. And you had to do what they call lines. And it was so boring. You had to write the same sentence over and over and over again.
Let me share something with you.
Go ahead.
All right. I know a pastor who brought a version of that as a means of discipline within the church. Mm-hmm. So if you did something wrong, as in wrong, not, you know, you were late for a meeting, you transgressed. Mm-hmm. You would write out on paper in pencil. It had to be, number one, it had to be pencil. Mm-hmm. So you needed a sharpener. Number two, it was obviously on paper. Number three, the paper, it had to be unlined paper, plain paper, no lines. Mm-hmm. And what were you writing out? Psalm 119.
No.
Yeah, 173 verses in pencil. On printer paper with no lines. Now that is punishment.
You'll never do that thing again. No, whatever it was.
Well, I want to know, did they learn? Because okay, that's walking with the word, isn't it?
But is it?
But did they learn from what they were writing and
I mean, I don't know. I mean, only the Lord knows. Yeah. Only the Lord knows. You know, I was flum. My brain couldn't process when somebody said, oh yeah, you know, I messed up, and you know, I've had to apologize to pastor, but you know, he's put me on discipline. I said, oh, put you on discipline, and what does that look like? Oh, I have to write Psalm 119. Now, the person said I had to write Psalm 119. Somewhere in my mind, I thought about Psalm 117, which is the shortest chapter in the whole Bible. Mm. You know, I thought Psalm 117, yeah, three verses. What? Oh, you just write it repeatedly. He said, no, I'm only writing once. I said, there isn't much to it. He said, what do you mean there isn't much? The 173. I said, oh, 119. He said, yes. And then he opens this folder and pulls out this reams of paper. Mm-hmm. And I said, why aren't you writing it with lines? You're going all over the place. He says, that's the punishment. Mm.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Wow. But that for me, that was a bit much.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Mm. You know, I'm not trying to speak into what other people are doing in their churches, but that's a bit much in my opinion. You know. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, so writing out scripture, yeah, no, it would be like one, you know,
verse,
yeah. And then once you've got that written, then take that. Well, what I do is I take it with me. I'll put it in like my pocket or wherever, or somewhere. If I'm stationary, somewhere where I can glance and see it. Mm. But otherwise, I know people. What other people do is they'll get their phone. They'll type it in their phone, in their notes section, and then they'll set an alarm.
Yeah.
So the alarm will go off like maybe every hour or so, and then when the alarm goes off, it will show up with the scripture, and they'll recite the scripture or they'll pray over the scripture. Mm. Yeah. So that's one way of walking with the word.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it was last week as well, if I said that, but I remember saying something about doing something similar in terms of with Psalm 119, funny enough. And just there was a particular verse, and I decided to just have that as a reminder, because I think when we move from like day to day, even the Bible says sufficient for the day, like the day in itself, it's enough for you to like just forget or just lose touch with what is true. Mm-hmm. So you need that constant reminder. Pastor Deji, you were saying something about discipleship when we're talking about those who just received baptism, and I wanted us to discuss it from the angle of friendships and those people we have around us. How, in what ways can that also be a practical step of working with the word? Because I think the people we surround ourselves with as well play a role in that in some way.
I mean, ultimately, there's a well-known saying that you are what you eat. You are what you consume is a slightly better way of saying that, whether that be consuming food, consuming media, consuming in terms of our conversations, political affiliations, etc. And so and there's that other saying, you know, show me your friends, I'll tell you who you are. It's absolutely critical. And then I think we said that we talked about this verse last week. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. So ensuring that we are surrounded by the right people, you know, it is really, really critical. Absolutely, absolutely critical. The right people saying the right way, having the right conversations, the right attitudes, the right approaches, you know, the right projects, the right adventures, etc. Absolutely critical. Was it last week? Maybe the week before? I don't remember. But I'm sure I've said this before on the show that if someone's training to be an athlete, they don't hang around with painters. You know, if someone wants to get their singing skills better, they don't, you know, going to the gym isn't going to help you with that. You know, per se. If someone wants to get better at swimming, going for a jog in the forest isn't going to help you with that per se. You hang around with swimmers. You become part of the conversation, the community of swimmers. It's one of the reasons we gather in church every Sunday, is to top up, you know, our community, as it were. And when you're around people who are speaking the language of faith, who are speaking the word, speaking of the word, speaking of Christ, inevitably that stuff will rub. Inevitably. So I think it's absolutely critical. And even those of us who've been Christians, who've been churchgoers, we've been, you know, for many years, you know, think about the people around you. I'm not necessarily saying, you know, don't talk to people, but, you know, each in their own place, you know, even family, hold your family dear in your heart, but not everything that comes out of, if you have non-Christian family members, not everything that comes out of their mouths should go in your heart. Mm. You know, scripture says out of the depth of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm. So guard your heart with it, with all diligence, because from it are the issues that pertain to life. And so it's important, the things, the people, what is speaking into and feeding into our hearts, that we are intentional and deliberate about protecting that.
So when you said that, I just remembered, like, when I was in secondary school, I just reconnected with a friend from secondary school, which seems like a lifetime ago. And I remember she was saying to me, just when we started talking, and she was just reminding me of things that, oh, because in secondary school I was in choir, I was in the drama group, I was, you know, I was like everywhere. And so she was just reminding me of, and saying how I had such a huge influence then as teenagers on her, like as a, being a Christian and things like that. And for me, why that was really, it was really important for me to hear that, because I didn't know that that was even what I was doing. I mean, I practically didn't even know what I was doing at 13, 14 anyway, you know. So to hear that, you know, lots later, and someone saying that, I still remember all these years later, like, the reason why I developed this relationship is with. So sometimes we don't know the influences that we try to underplay. I think some people try to underplay the influence of people, and like, no, I'm strong, you know, I have a mind of my own, you know, but people can influence you. It's just that, no matter how strong
I think people you are, do influence. We're all susceptible to influence. We come to Christ and we allow ourselves to be influenced by God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We allow ourselves to be influenced by other believers. We allow ourselves to be influenced by the sermon. You know, again, faith comes by hearing what we believe, and, you know, we bolster our faith by continuing to hear. And if we're hearing, you know, excuse my language, but if the for example, the kind of music we're hearing is, yeah, I'm going to shoot your mama, teeth your wife music, then, you know, that's what we will grow in. You know,
that's a topic we need to speak about as well.
Music, right?
The influence of music, because you're right, that will, it infiltrates our subconscious mind, you know. And I remember years ago when I was still new in, you know, my born again, being born again Christian, and so, and like, well, my, like I said, I've got a colourful background, so, you know, coming out of the world into Christendom, but still playing worldly music. But then realizing the influence, because your spirit kind of feels like, you know, something's a bit off. But if you, and Pastor, you brought this up last week about Christian songs that have the scripture, scripture written in the Christian song, you play that and you notice the difference it has on your spirit, you know. And again, that's one way of walking with the word is. And there are differences in Christian songs. You know, not every Christian song is a Christian song. It isn't. You have to really listen to the lyric as to, well, what is it actually they're talking about? Because if we look at the origins of gospel music, for example, and where that originated from, correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor, because you know a lot more about music than what I do. But I heard that gospel music originated from the times of slavery, where, you know, they created music to encourage themselves. So it's not necessarily based on scripture. And even when I listen to modern day gospel music now, you know, I'm like, well, where's, because I'm listening for the scripture, you know. I'm like, well, where's the scripture, where's the mention of, and some of them don't even mention Jesus,
whether it be a scriptural text or a scriptural principle. So, for example, if you look at some of the older hymns, you know, a hymn like How Great Thou Art is clearly speaking about the Lord, but there's no scripture per se, you know, quoted. So it's not necessarily that every Christian song must quote scripture, but every Christian song must be clear and evidently pointing to our Christian God, you know. And not every gospel song is a Christian song, because they're songs that are just the inspirational. You know, sung in the gospel style, as a genre of music. And I'm fully with you there, and I think you're absolutely right. Some of this stuff is just, it encourages, and it's nice, it's pleasant, it's pleasant. It's just like, not every sermon is an actual sermon. Some of them are just a really good talk,
motivational
talk. They're really on a, I'm sorry I went there, but you know, some of some what some people bring on a Sunday is a really good talk in a church. You know, because when you stop and you dial it back and you say, could what this person just shared, could I lift that and drop it into a leadership seminar? Could I lift that and drop that into a university context? You know, would it be, it'd just be a lecture, it's just a really good, should I lift that and drop that into a TED Talk environment? You know, it'd be a really good talk. It's not a sermon, it's a good talk. You know, so it's really important that we, and some, it's obviously it's nuanced, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, as you were just talking, I was thinking of another practical, another thing that was like really popular. I don't think people, it had, there was this wristband that had this WWJD. And I think that's another like example of being practical. And I just wanted to ask, you know, in what ways, like even if there's like personal examples you could use where you have actually had that moment where you have thought, okay, what would Jesus do in this moment? And how that changed what, how you would have reacted. How that changed how
you would have reacted. Pastor Deji is showing something.
You just understood.
I just understood.
What are you showing us, Pastor Deji?
He has his own.
Yeah. He has his own WWD.
Yeah, WWJD right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I this think, is it's yeah. permanently on. It never comes off. Oh. I put this on in 2001, and been on, it's been around my neck since then.
So tell us about that.
Yes, what does it
mean? I actually didn't see it when I was asking that. Funny enough, it was just in my head.
Right. Look at that! Yeah. Holy Spirit is present.
Well, WWJD. I mean, it came from the origins of the WWJD movement, if I can call it that. It's rooted in a book called In His Steps. The book In His Steps, I've read it twice. Don't ask me for the story. So I'm just going to tell you the roughly. So roughly, it's about the people in this town, and a preacher comes into town, and he's sharing. He decides he's going to hold a convention. He's going to hold this thing. And fundamentally, he is simply saying, what would Jesus do? That's the title, that's the thrust of his message to the people in that town, to the Christians, you know. And it's the WWJD movement came out of that as a means of a contemporary way of looking at the Christian life. I'm not saying let's ignore the Bible, but let's just pause on the specificity of scripture for a moment, right? And the thrust and the meaning behind the words and say, what would Jesus do? So, you know, in our contemporary context, you're at work, there's a, you and a bunch of people, you're in the I don't know, the office kitchen, and some people are laughing about, and they're gossiping about your boss. What would Jesus do?
Yeah.
Stand there and gossip and go, I know, you're right, eh? Would he? You know, you're driving down the road, somebody cuts in front of you, what would Jesus do? So it's just a case of saying, stop, pause for a moment, reflect, what would Jesus do? And if you truly cannot answer that question, then go back to the scripture and say, let me find out a little bit more about Jesus and try and extrapolate and project how he would respond in this context. And that's the WWJ thing. And there were t-shirts, wristbands.
Yeah.
And obviously I bought mine. You know.
There was even a book by Dr. Don Colbert called What Would Jesus Eat?
Gosh.
Yeah, so there was spin-offs.
Yeah, I think it's a very important question. I mean, it's very hard, to be honest. I feel like in for me, if I want to be honest, in that moment, I may not always get what Jesus will do. But I feel like it's one of the... Okay, so for example, like just yesterday, funny enough, so I went met up with my group at school for filming, and they kept filming until like past seven, and they were in central London, and I was the one who lived farthest away. So I was I was telling them, I was like, guys, I'm the one who lives farthest away, time is going, you know, once everywhere gets really quiet, I don't want to be alone walking on the road, and and they were just taking their time. And at that point, I was just in a very bad mood. So I had no team spirit going on, you know, and I was answering everyone with like monosyllables. And eventually they were like, okay, no, you can go home. And then when I got home, I was like, okay, I shouldn't have done that. So for me, I knew in that moment, the best thing to do would have been, or the Jesus thing to do would have just, you know, to be peaceful and not, you know, suddenly have this very sour attitude towards everyone and be very, you know, snappy. But I do think that's another way in terms of realistically where you practically walk with the word, where you remember
absolutely
that what would Jesus do.
And I think that was part of the aim of the whole WWJD movement. It's about, you know, for you to act, for you to truly answer that question, you need to kind of dig into the personality, the person and the personality of Jesus.
Okay, so we're going to go on another music break. I don't know what Pastor Deji has for us.
Well, Governor B is a very well-known gospel artist here in the UK, or Christian artist here in the UK. Is he rap? Is he, I mean, he does all sorts of stuff, doesn't he, Governor B? But truly gifted. He's a, he's an award-winning musician and Christian musician. And this song actually features called out music, and it is called Peace of God.
The peace of God, let it cover you. Heaven knows what you're going through. When life is overwhelming and you need the cease to come, I pray you find the peace of God.
And we're back. This is Being Mindful on PHBC Radio. My name is Noma, and with me in the studio is Lillian and our very own...
Double joy. That's what I'm going to call you from now on now, Pastor Deji.
Double joy. Oh, and we have been discussing, walking with the word, the practical ways. And we would like to hear from you listening. What are the practical ways in which you work with the word? We've talked about the WWJD. Pastor DJ has one on his neck.
You know what? Everyone's going to come in now to church. They're going to look at his neck.
You need to see it. Lillian shared with us about the importance of writing scripture down and having that all around you. Lillian is also going to share a bit more about other things that she does and that we all can do as Christians to have the word with us every day. So take it away.
Yeah, so one of the other methods we can use is using prayer books. So I'm very big on prayer books. I think maybe because that's how I started when I became born again, because it was easier in terms of knowing how to pray. And again, there are different types of prayer books. So you do need to check that the prayer book that you're using has scripture. Mm. And the prayer books that I have will utilize scripture within the prayer and then reference it as well. So you can refer to, you know, check it in your Bible to make sure that, oh, okay, yes, it's like for like, you know, and you're not just reading some paraphrased whatever in your prayer time. Mm. So that's one good way of walking with the word. If you don't know how to pray about a situation, get in the prayer book and reading the prayer that is in there. And, you know, again, making sure that it's scriptural based, but that's still walking with the word as well. I don't know whether either of you two have ever used prayer books, Pastor Deje, Noma.
So my mom is very big on prayer books as well. Obviously she's Nigerian, so her type, she's like Mountain of Fire. I don't know if you've heard about.
Yes, I've heard of them.
Yeah, she's very like. That's my mom. So
I used to visit their church.
Yeah, so she shares that with all my siblings. All of us, we always get every new year they have a new prayer book, like list of prayers for the year. So yeah, she doesn't
fail. I've got two of those, so maybe my one's old. But then prayer doesn't expire. You know, scripture doesn't expire. So Pastor Deje, have you ever used any prayer books?
The direct answer is yes. Certainly. I started my Christian journey as a child in the Anglican Church. And as you know, Anglican Church is a lot more liturgical than us free church folk. I understood the value of having prayers, you know, written prayers, prayer direction, you know. Now, by the time I got through to my degree, that's when I started recognizing the real value of having a prayer book and guided type prayers. And it's certainly, well, it helped, I suppose, round out my prayer life a lot more. You know, there are various ways you could, obviously you can pray scripture, you can pray, there's all sorts of ways you can do stuff, but prayer books I think are really, really valuable. I do believe I still have one, not sure where it is though. So even the daily prayers that I do every morning, my primary guide is the verse of the day. So I go on Bible Gateway's website, and there's a verse for the day. So I'll just sit with that for 20 minutes. I'll sit with that for 15 minutes before the show goes live, before I start the prayer. I'll just have thoughts. Stuff will just start to come, and I'll go in a particular direction. I'll be like, ooh, what does it say in Psalm, I don't know, 28? Do you know? I mean, who remembers Psalm 28?
I might just
go in a particular direction, and there I'll see something that'll trigger something that we hold as our prayer focus. So
Pastor, you beautifully went on to my next point, which was using Bible Gateway as a guide in terms of walking with the word, because again, we have our phones, we have our gadgets with us, you know, we can just bring up Bible Gateway, you know, see what the scripture is for the day and use that for memory to stand on for your day, apply to prayer, even to send to people, you know. I just want to deviate from this one moment, because Pastor does the morning daily prayers. For those of you who are not tuned into it, it is very, very good. And again, that's another tool we can use in terms of walking with the word. If you're, you know, you think, oh, okay, Lord, well, what do I pray about this morning, or what do I pray about today? So that's one example, is tapping into resources where we can, you know, someone has prayed, someone has used the scripture, and we can follow along with that. And also, as you mentioned, Pastor, about, you know, when you see the scripture, asking yourself, well, what does that mean? What does that mean to me now in this day? What does it mean to me in this situation? Mm-hmm. And Pastor, when are you going to bring your book out, your prayer book out? Because you're doing these daily prayers. He's looking at me like,
where did that come from?
What are you saying, Lillian? So anyway, I'll leave that there. Pastor, I think he's in shock that I've asked him. So we'll wait till...
That's the first I've heard of the book. That's what you're seeing on my face.
And now his expression is like, yeah, great, thank you. Anyway, I'll leave that one there. Moving on swiftly.
I'm not even going to speak anymore.
Oh, no.
Okay, listeners, if you think that Pastor Deji should write the book, please let us know.
No,
you know what to do.
How do I turn this microphone off?
No. Contact the studio.
I want to turn her microphone off.
Let us know on any of the social media, the apps. Let us know. Thank you. Anyway, the next one. The last way I've got of walking with the word is using prayer devotionals.
Mm.
So prayer devotionals such as, okay, I'm going to name a few, like UCB. UCB do...
Word for Today.
Yeah, Word for Today. There's a Daily Bread one as well my mum tends to use. So, you know, it doesn't... What it tends to do is it creates a scenario of a situation that we as Christians can find ourselves in.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will point you to certain scriptures, or it has certain scripture points at the start and main scripture at the bottom, which again is a great way of not only, you know, because I remember I used to get them and I used to flick to relevant topics that were relevant for me, and then see what the author would say, but also see what the related scriptures could be as well. And I found that really, really useful in terms of walking with the word in my current situation. So, and I've got many prayer devotion, old prayer devotionals, like one specifically like for business, for health, for family, relationships, just different ones. And I think they're useful. I think they're really valuable. I don't know if either of you two have ever used a prayer devotional at all.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I've used UCB before. I've used one of the ones I've used a lot. I've used a lot of Joyce Meyer's devotional.
I was going to say, because that just came to my mind, was Joyce, big up Joyce Meyer.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, I've used Joyce Meyer's. I've used Max Lucado. I really like his writing as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've used TD Jakes. So yeah, I do use a number of them. But I was going to add to I know you said Bible Gateway, but there's also like YouVersion, right?
Yeah.
So that's
the Bible app.
So yeah. Yeah, so that's the one that I use.
You young Gen Zs use. Oh, millennials. Yeah.
us millennials and Gen Zs, right?
Yeah.
So it's really good because there's so many devotionals as well. Like currently I'm doing one on the book of James, and it's really, really good. I mean, this is like my third time I've done it before. I did the second time and I'm doing it again, and it's really good in terms of what you talk about, like the practical scenarios where you can actually relate to and then see, okay, this is what so for example, like this morning it was talking about caring for what truly religion means to God. There's a part in James where he says it's about caring for orphans and widows and the poor and things like that. So seeing something like that, and you're able to actually, just for me, I'm able to, okay, this is what it means to be a Christian. It's about showing love to the vulnerable people that are around me, and, you know, not pretending that you can't see them, type of thing. Another thing I was going to add is podcasts. Podcasts are a very big thing now. And so there's the Joyce Meyer podcast again.
Yeah.
There's so many of them. So, and of course, there's Being Mindful as well. Yes. It's not a podcast, but it's a program on radio.
Do you think Pastor Deji will come up with a podcast? Do you think?
Oh my Just days. Adding to his list. I don't understand.
It's moved on.
Yes, it's clear. The target has moved to this side of the room.
Yeah, so there are a number of very good, Christian podcasts and Christian radio stations, like you mentioned last week as well. I just think it's important that, I mean, that's not to say that in doing these things, you won't still have those moments of feeling low or challenged, but it just helps you to, in those moments, it provides the comfort and a moment of relief where you know that you're not alone in whatever it is that you're going through.
Absolutely.
So that's why it's important, I believe.
Especially when you find, like you say, in difficult, challenging situations, and you just don't know what to say to God.
Yeah.
And you're just feeling numb.
Yeah.
And having the prayer devotional, the prayer book there, and finding the relevant topic to your situation, and then knowing that you're praying scripture as well. Mm. And at least then you get, like you say, you get the relief from that.
Yeah.
But something you also mentioned before we went on air was the praise and worship as well. I know that goes back to music.
Yeah.
But even if you play praise and worship music that's scripturally based, and that, you know, you're feeling numb, you can't pray, you can't even open your mouth even to say, God help me, you know. But just playing that will help to help us.
I think you're absolutely right. And if you remember, I think it was last week, I was talking about the fact that, you know, having worship music and playing worship music helped me in just remembering the word, remembering, you know, the right songs, obviously, remembering the word and focusing one's mind on the person of God and the person of Christ and the person of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, I think that's where we're going to draw the curtain. Let me say like Nigeria. That's where we're going to close today. It's been fun having this conversation, and I hope it's also been helpful to you. Again, if you want to send in your messages or, again, contribute to this particular conversation, because we'll be moving on next week to something even more interesting, I believe. So again, follow us on Instagram or Twitter, PHBC Radio, and we also have the radio app as well. So that's it from me and my lovely support system.
Gosh, we're scaffolding now.
I know.
Pastor Deji, please don't do this to me next week. I can't lead. It's Lillian's turn.
It's Lillian's, absolutely.
You're doing a good job. You're doing a good job, Neoma. No. You're doing a good job. Anyway, it's goodbye from me, Lillian.
And it's goodbye from me, Pastor Deji.
All right.
As we always say, please be mindful of one another.
And of yourself.
Yeah.
God bless you.
God bless.
At a crossroads of life and death, big doubts on my right, deep hurts on my left. God could not have felt more far away. God could not have felt more far away. I needed a mutual spiritual connection. Jesus in you, my connection comes. Jesus in you, my connection comes. Reconciler, take me higher. Can't know the Father unless I know you. Can't get to heaven unless it's through you. Reconciler, take me higher. Can't know the Father unless I know you. Can't get to heaven.
can't get to heaven without you.